This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Have you ever been stuck in a powerful storm? The effects of a storm can be devastating on the land, but for a ship at sea, a powerful storm can be lethal. The prophet Jonah found himself on a boat in the middle of a storm. Today, Pastor Sam will conclude a sermon titled, Prophet Overboard, from Jonah chapter 1, verses 7 through 16. It's about Jonah's experience in that storm. So let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Everybody in Jonah's day knew what a Hebrew was. Everybody knew about these people. These were the people whose God drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. These were the people whose God tumbled down the walls of the largest armed city in the land where they went in, a city called Jericho. These were the people whose King David was granted victory over all of his enemies. These were the people whose King Solomon was so famous and he built this magnificent temple. Everybody in Jonah's day knew who the Hebrew people were. And then they knew what a Hebrew prophet was. Jonah said, I confess that I fear the Lord. I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Now, what does it mean for Jonah to fear the Lord? Well, in this context, it means this. Jonah says, I am a Hebrew and I serve Yahweh. I am a servant. I worship, I fear. The word can also mean serve. I serve Yahweh. I am his official servant. Now, everybody in Jonah's day knew who the Hebrews were, but they also knew a lot about the Hebrew God, Yahweh. We call him the Lord. Everybody knew that he was the most powerful God in the cosmos. Everybody had heard what happened to Dagon, the Philistine God, when he tried to stand in front of this God. They knew the story of how he had fallen down in front of this God. They knew the story of the gods of the Hittites and the Canaanites who were powerless to stop the people when this God was fighting for them. Ask Baal what happened to his 850 prophets and priests in the days of Elijah and Elisha. These sailors were like, of all the things that could have, this is the most fortuitous thing. Of all the people that could have landed on our boat, we just happened to land the best kind of a person. We happened to land a servant of the God who's causing all of this. Jonah had told them, I serve the Lord, the God who made the dry land and the sea. Those were the two places they were most interested in at the moment. They were most interested in the sea that was raging. They wanted a lot less of that. And they were very interested in the dry land. And here was, of all things, on their boat, the very person who could talk to the God who made the sea and who made the land. And the problem is, Jonah isn't talking to God. Right, prophet? Right conclusion, but Jonah isn't talking to God right now because Jonah is ticked at God. Here are these people, and they're like, of all things, we got the right guy, so I no wonder the lots fell on you. No wonder when we cast a lot, this God who's taking mercy on us pointed you out, and so what's up? And Jonah tells him what he did. And he confesses his sinful disobedience. I'm fleeing from the presence of this God. Verse 10 says, he told them this. And everything changes. And that's the end of the little next piece. And that brings us to the third little part of this scene. And that is, everything's about to get manifested. God is about to do some major manifestation in the hearts of everybody. There is horrified indignation in verse 10. The sailors look at Jonah and they say, what is it that you have done? And the second thing that you see, or the second time that you see their fear, is again in verse 10. These men were exceedingly afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of what Jonah had done. Jonah, what have you done? Now, they already knew what he had done because he told them. So this is not them asking for more information. This is expressing horrified outrage at what he had done and how he had recklessly endangered their life. Jonah, are you kidding me? We thought you were going to rescue us. We thought you're on this boat because we're in this storm. Obviously, the gods are against us. The sea has risen up against us, and you're the one person that can deliver us. And instead, we find out that you're the reason for the whole thing because of your disobedience. What have you done? You know, sometimes God puts that question in the mouth of people who have been affected by our disobedience. What have you done? This is not why. It's not like I want an explanation. It's, what have you done? In other words, how could you have done this, Jonah? What have you done? And then they ask him, what shall we do? Jonah, what have you done? And then what shall we do with you? Given your position with God as his prophet, and given what you've done, surely you must know what to do and what we must do to appease his wrath. What an incredible opportunity for Jonah to repent. You know, when you and I set out on a path to go a different direction than where God wants us to go, he will oftentimes introduce people along the way to ask us these kind of questions. What are you doing here? This is not where you belong. What have you done? How in the world could you do this? And all along the way, there are places where God gives us what he gave Jonah, an opportunity to repent. Jonah's made a good confession. He's confessed who he is, he's confessed who God is, and he's confessed what he's done. All that's missing now is for him to make a good repentance. And he won't do it. He resists. And that brings us to verse 12, which is Jonah's self-righteous justification. Look at verse 12. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down. Now think about this for a minute. Jonah has two options at this point. He's standing there. All the cards are on the deck. The lot has been cast. Everybody knows everything. Jonah, we know who you are. We know who your God is. We know what you've done. And now we need to know what to do. And there are two paths in front of Jonah. Jonah can repent, and he can return, and he can submit. That's option number one, right? But Jonah is stubborn, and he is self-righteous. I've already decided, God, that this is not an option for me because I know what's coming. If I repent and I return to you, you're going to send me to Nineveh. And when I get to Nineveh, the very thing that I'm afraid of is going to happen. These sailors are afraid of stuff. They're afraid of the sea. They're afraid of me. And so they're afraid. But I've got bigger fears and bigger fish to fry than these little sailors on this little boat about this little sea and this little storm. It's interesting, God calls it a great wind and a great storm, right? But in Jonah's mind, he minimizes all of that because he's got one overarching fear that when he gets to Nineveh, God is going to do something there that he is completely opposed to. God is going to show those monsters mercy. And these are the people, God, who are not part of your covenant. They're not part of your tribe. They're not part of your people. And you're going to show them mercy. And when you show them mercy, they're going to come in two generations and they're going to wipe out the people that I've spent my life ministering to. And I want to see this nation become great again. And if I go there, there's no hope of that. Because when I go there and you show mercy, it's the end for this nation. It's the end for my people. And that is not acceptable to me. So if you're going to put me in a place where I've got to choose to perish or to repent, I'm perishing. And you know, before we jump on Jonah too hard, we do the same thing. Have you ever had something that was so important to you or something that you felt was so significant that you were willing to justify a disobedience to protect it? Have you ever had a hill that you were so convinced was right that you were going to die on that hill? Have you ever been on a ship that you were so convinced about your position that you were willing to go over the side, you were willing to go down with the ship, you were willing to die on the hill, even if it meant other people went down with you? You ever been there? Jonah says, I'm doing this because I care about your name, even when you don't seem to care about your name. And I care about truth, even when you don't seem to care about truth. And I care about righteousness way more than I think you do, because if I were running the show, I would never be showing those people righteousness. I would never be showing those people mercy. And before I go there, I'm going to protect your name. I'm going to protect your honor. I'm going to protect what I think is the right way to go at this theologically, and I am willing to blow everything up to do it. You say, well, that would never happen to me. Hey, we blow our marriages up all the time over this, don't we? We blow our families up. How many churches have been split by this very kind of an attitude? This is the way it's going to be, and by God, this is not coming in our church, and this is never going to happen here, and I don't care what God is doing, and I don't care what God says. I am dying on this hill, and I don't care what damage it does to this church or what damage it does to people who are going to be in the aftermath of this. I don't care if they never darken the door of the church again. This church is going to have my idea of what righteousness looks like. Or this ministry, or this thing that I'm a part of. And God says, you got to either repent or perish. And you say, perish. Perish. You don't need to give it a thought. We probably need a little light moment here. So you remember in the pandemic, there was this little commercial that went around. Some guy was sitting there and he was looking at the camera and he was given some options. What are you going to do? You have these choices. A, you can quarantine with your wife and kids, or B. He didn't even hear B. He already chose B. Right? You remember that? Well, this is exactly what Jonah's doing. Repent and let me be sovereign, or B. I'm going to perish. And so he looks at the sailors and he says, do to me what God did to that wind. Do to me what you did earlier to the cargo. Hurl me over the side. And here again we see the pagans more concerned about things that matter to God than Jonah did. Because instead of doing this, in verse 13, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more tempestuous against them. And that brings us to the final thing in this scene, and that is transformation. Transformation. By the time we get to the end of this scene, a powerful thing has happened. The sailors who back in verse 5 were praying to idols are now praying to who? To God. How did that happen? There was humble intercession in verses 14 and 15. They turned from their idols to the true God and they began to call upon him. They asked his forgiveness for what they must do as they obeyed the word he had given them through Jonah. Jonah refused to obey the word he got from God directly. These people were going to obey the word that God had given them, even through the mouth of a disobedient prophet. These sailors are concerned about two things that Jonah did not seem very, very concerned about at all. Number one, they were concerned about displeasing God. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. They were concerned about the life of a person who belonged to God. They were concerned about displeasing God. And number two, they were concerned about a person who belonged to God. Jonah didn't seem very concerned at all about disobeying God and displeasing him, and he certainly seemed very, very unconcerned about an entire city of people that God is later going to say belong to him. and I'm concerned. And so they do this. They trust in God's sovereignty. They say, you have done what pleased you. And then they obeyed and waited expectantly, and they hurled Jonah over. And immediately the sea became quiet. It ceased from its raging. I don't know what storm you're in. I don't know what the sea is like for you, but trust me, when you confess and you repent and you return to God, the storm inside you stops. And the storm inside you is always greater and more difficult than the storm outside you. And some of you have been in that storm for a while. We started Jonah, and you're like, Pastor, of all the books to pick, why this one? I'm planning a whole couple of weeks of vacation, because when you get into chapter 1 and later when you get into chapter 4, I don't want to be around for that. Couldn't you go to Genesis? Genesis is a quiet book. How about Psalms? Let's do Psalms. Psalms is a praise book. You got to pick Jonah. Jonah's like, why the lots? You're like, why Jonah? You know why? Because the God of heaven knows. The God of heaven knows when you and I are running. The God of heaven knows where we're running to. And here's a little clue. He's there ahead of us. It's not like God's running behind us going, slow down, I got to catch up. He's ahead of us. He knows exactly where you're going. And he's using everything in nature and everything around you to get you exactly where you need to be for God to work in your life. And before you say, I don't care what it's going to do to me, I don't care what it's going to do to my family, I don't care what it's going to do to my ministry, pick me up and hurl me over the side, you do have another option. You can do what these sailors did. You can obey. You can repent. You can call out to the Lord. And when you do that, what happened for these sailors physically on the sea would happen in your own heart spiritually, and the storm will stop. Now, you may still be in a boat that's shaking around for a bit, but the internal storm will stop. And then there's thankful dedication. Notice verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly. This is the third and final time that the word fear shows up in this chapter tied to these sailors. They were greatly afraid when the storm hit. They feared exceedingly. They feared a great fear when they heard Jonah's identity and then they heard what he had done. And now everything's quiet. The storm is done. The boat is safe. Their lives are saved. And now they fear a very different kind of fear. It is reverential awe in the God who has done all of this. And so they turn to God. They fear Yahweh. They are profoundly thankful to God. They offer sacrifices of thanks, and they commit themselves. They dedicate themselves to follow God. They vow vows. You know, there are just times in our life, aren't there, where we've got to turn from our idols. We've got to turn from the things we're trusting in. We've got to turn from whatever it is that gives us satisfaction or that gives us safety or that we perceive will make us significant or the thing that we value so much. And we've got to leave all of that behind, and we just have to cling to God. And then God has to say to us, I am enough. I'm enough. And when that happens, you know, comes out of our heart, thankfulness to God. And commitment to God. God, I want to follow you. I want to be yours. And you vow vows. You make promises. We did this a few weeks ago in our giving series as we saw the radical generosity of God. You know what came out of our hearts? Lord, we want to be like that. You've been so generous to us. We want to be generous back to you. And we gave thanks to God, and then we made commitments to God. And God has been giving seed for the sower. And he's putting that seed in your bag. And as you keep that vow, there is this great fear that you have, this reverential awe. You know, it's stunning when pagans pray better than prophets, isn't it? It's stunning when pagans pray better than prophets, and it's stunning when idolaters repent better than the child of a true God of heaven. You and I ought to be repenters. Well, what do we do with this story? The scene closes. It's quiet on the deck. When we opened the scene, there was pandemonium above the deck, and there was silence below deck. And when we end the scene, there is silence on the deck, and below the ocean, there's a lot of activity about to happen. So we've kind of seen this reversal. And as we close the scene and the curtain comes down, what are the lessons we need to learn? Well, let me give you them very quickly. Disobedience is serious business. You and I can justify our disobedience in many spiritually sounding ways. Just like Jonah, I am doing this for the honor of God. I am not about to let this go on in my life or in the church or in this ministry, and we justify whatever disobedience. But whatever disobedience is, and however we justify it, it is deadly serious business. Here's the second truth in this scene. When we sin willfully, God always pursues graciously. God is on a mission. He's pursuing you. He's been pursuing me. And what he's looking for is this, confession. Confession is powerful. Jonah's confession is how these pagans became believers. You say, well, Jonah was disobedient, but the truth wasn't disobedient. Jonah didn't save these sailors, the Lord did. And the Lord used the confession of a disobedient Hebrew prophet to bring pagan people to Jesus. Your confession is a very powerful tool. You say, I don't know what to do. I've ruined my marriage. I've ruined my kids. I've blown it up. Confess. And when you confess, you would be stunned at what God does. Forgiveness is available to anyone. Pagan sailors who in the middle of a storm are praying to worthless idols or praying to worthless idols, they get it. Forgiveness is available to anyone, anywhere, anytime. It was available to Jonah, and it's available for you and for me. And when that forgiveness comes and genuine salvation comes, it brings personal transformation. We turn to God, conversion. We thank God, gratitude. We follow and serve God, dedication. And here's the point. If God was willing to do this for these sailors, and if God desperately wanted to do this for Jonah, and God would do this for the Ninevites, on what grounds do you think God won't do it for you? I mean, when you sit there and you say, well, yeah, but that was the sailors, or yeah, that was the Ninevites, but I'm me, and I've blown it so many times, and I've committed so many sins, and I've done the same one so many times, there isn't forgiveness for me. That is a lie that somebody is whispering in your ear. There is gracious, abundant, merciful forgiveness to anyone, anywhere, anytime, because forgiveness is never you earning it, it's always God giving it. Forgiveness is a gift. It is a gift. And God is a radically abundant giver. And so this morning, if you're standing where Jonah is and you've got a choice to make, make the right choice. Let the story and the truth of this true story truly impact you.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon series from the book of Jonah next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, also by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billieux. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.